Hair loss on GLP-1 meds is common, but it's not inevitable, okay? It's your body responding to metabolic stress and nutrient depletion.
You've just tuned in to Rebel Wellness. I'm your host, Kaylee, also known as Coach Kales, integrative clinical nutritionist in training, fitness pro of over a decade, and the woman who refused to accept normal when my body was screaming otherwise. If you're the high achiever who's been told your blood work is perfect while you're secretly Googling why you feel like garbage, if you're crushing it at work but your energy crashes at 3 p.m. and your cycle just feels off, or maybe you've been gaslit by providers who dismiss your symptoms as just stress, and you know something deeper is going on, you're my people. Here's where functional medicine meets real talk strategy. I created this podcast as your resource to take back the driver's seat on your health journey. Women are incredibly intuitive, and I'm here to help you reconnect with that voice. This isn't about perfection or another protocol to fail at. It's about finally getting the answers your body has been begging for and the tools that actually work in your real, messy, beautiful life. Less noise, more nourishment. Let's dive in. What's up, Rebels? Welcome back to the show. So today I want to talk about something that is really, really common. And I have been, you know, navigating with a lot of my clients and even some of my friends who are on these medications. So a few months ago, I got a voice memo from one of my clients, and she's been utilizing a GLP-1 medication for a lot of very other specific medical reasons and has been honestly taking a pretty low dose, but in the range where it is still in the therapeutic dosing. So it is going to still have more noticeable impacts on her metabolism and physiology in general. And she had just taken a shower and sent me a picture before the voice message, which was like, thank God, because I was like, what is this photo of? And it was like a substantial amount of hair in the shower that had come off of her head, obviously. And so she was like, Kales, like, I, at this point, have been on the medication for several months now, and I've moved a good amount of, you know, excess fat. I'm feeling a lot better. My brain is clearer. I have less brain fog. You know, my digestion is doing better than it used to. All these different things. But like, now I'm losing my hair in clumps, and this doesn't seem right. And I don't want to go bald. Like, I don't think I can keep doing this. You know, like, do you have any advice for me? And she had been so diligent with a lot of the usual things that, you know, I coach even you guys here on the podcast on when it comes to GLP-1 medications. She was eating her protein, strength training when she could, trying to manage her stress as best she could, just, you know, doing everything that also her prescriber had told her to do as well. But no one had told her that she was about to go through this big metabolic shift that could influence and often influences your hair follicles to kind of have their own party and release their own weight. Unfortunately, that is usually your hair itself. So if you are on a GLP-1 medication, Ozempic, Wegovy, Mounjaro, Zepbound, a compounded version of compounded semaglutide, compounded tirzepatide, and you're noticing more hair in the shower drain or on your pillow, in your hairbrush, et cetera, or you're just noticing some patches on your head, you are not alone. You're not crazy. And it is definitely a really common side effect that I have been seeing pretty much across the board for most people that I know and get to talk to when they share that they are using one of these medications. So today we are talking about why this happens, what is actually going on beneath the surface, and most importantly, the exact protocol that I use with my clients or I share with my friends to reduce or even prevent that massive hair shed, because it's not inevitable, actually. And no, you don't just have to wait it out. That is also very bad advice you might be seeing online. But right before we dive in, I always want to invite you to come join our community on Instagram at Kaylee Loren or at Rebel Wellness Podcast. We also have just launched my brand new website, nourishwithin.me. You can check out everything in the show notes. All of the links are going to be there for you, as well as a lot of my favorite affiliates that you should definitely get your hands on the discounts from, or just the resources in general that I share typically in every single show note reel. But on my website, I have a freebie shelf that has so many great free downloads that literally just require your email and your name, and I do not send spam. So grab those free resources for you. I have my simple sourdough recipe that I learned from a master sourdough maker, and I made it available for you so that you can make really simple, delicious, nourishing sourdough at home for you and your family, and you don't have to freak about it getting wasted or just following some crazy YouTube online. None of that. All right. That's why I made that guide specifically for those of you who just really want to make a freaking loaf of sourdough. So that is one of my favorite freebies that is finally live on my website on the freebie shelf, nourishwithin.me, like I was saying earlier. And there's so many other great resources there too. So go get your hands on those, but let's dive in. Okay. So let's talk about what was happening with my client and probably what is happening with you if you are dealing with this and that is why you clicked on this episode. Or maybe you're somebody who's clever and you want to avoid that altogether by being educated and prepared before you even start a GLP-1 medication. You're going to get all the great advice in today's episode. Okay, so in typical Kale's fashion, I want to give you a quick down and dirty on why the hair loss happens on GLP-1 medications, because the physiology of how this occurs is really important to understand, because a lot of people think, you know, it's almost like when people put cream on their legs for cellulite, and it's like way more skin deep than that. So you have to understand that hair growth happens in cycles. Some of the basic science to know is that there are three phases in the hair cycle: the anagen growth phase, catagen transition phase, and telogen shedding phase. The main ones that most people focus on and what we'll kind of be referencing is the growth phase and the shedding phase. A lot of people will usually tell you, like maybe your hairstylist or an esthetician on YouTube has said that like it takes 30 days for hair to grow back somewhere. So, you know, you'll lose your eyelashes or your eyebrows or something like that, or even just hair on your head. And they'll say like, give it 30 days, blah, blah, blah. That is why, because that is the growth phase, and 90% of your hair grows every 28 to 30 days. Telogen phase, which is the shedding phase, lasts about 100 days. So a lot of people will say every 3 months on average, you will go through a hair shed. Every 3 to 4 months or so is the technical. But a lot of people reference kind of 3 months because that is also just a natural full body physiology cycle. That's why, you know, a lot of times when your doctor might be like, try this medication for 90 days at least and see if anything changes or improves or whatever. That's because our body on average takes about a solid 3 months to experience notable physiological changes. So speaking of this telogen phase, when your body goes through a major stressor like a surgery, an illness, rapid weight loss, hormonal shifts, it can push a bunch of hair follicles into that telogen phase, the shedding phase. So we know that GLP-1 medications are amazing for blood sugar, appetite regulation, weight loss, etc. But here's what's also happening. Your body is experiencing a massive metabolic recalibration. You're eating less, your insulin is shifting, your hormones are adjusting, your nutrient stores are being tapped because you're not eating as much and you're not digesting as well. So your body has to pull those nutrients from your nutrient stores. And your body reads all of that as stress, no matter how we shake it out, all right? Unfortunately, all weight loss is stress. That's why for a lot of people who are chronically stressed, weight loss might feel impossible and not responsive, because unfortunately your body is existing in a state where it's like, I could not possibly prioritize burning fat right now because I am so stressed out. I need to actually keep this fat so that I don't die, because, you know, fat is stored energy. Your body does it for a reason. You know, that's why a lot of people say the whole survival mode thing and yada, yada. So what's happening with my client and with your body and my body, everybody who goes into a period of stress like this, especially that initial transition where your body has just started on the med for the first month and then a couple months come in and then things are falling out. The hair is falling out. So think of it like this. Your body has a priority list during these times of stress. Hair is not at the top, unfortunately. Your heart, your brain, your organs, those are prioritized. They get the first dibs on nutrients and energy. And hair gets what is left over. So when there's not enough to go around, your hair is the first thing your body will sacrifice, unfortunately. It's the same with so many other things on your body. Like when you, have you ever been just super dehydrated? like after a night of partying or hiking a really long hike in the desert, you know, like we all do, right? Just kidding. But your face even looks depleted. Like you start to lose moisture in your lips and your eyelids are all thin and, you know, you just don't look your best. That's because your body is pulling all the water to your major organs. And it's like, yeah, sorry, you're not going to look so cute right now because this is more important right now. I've even had a client who's chronically dehydrated in the past. And she actually started to realize that her mucosal membranes, like for bowel movements and stuff, were not functioning properly because she was so dehydrated and everything was just massively prioritizing whatever water came in to those major organs. So hair is just at the bottom of the totem pole, unfortunately, and it will just get spent. And like I was kind of hinting towards, most people don't really realize this. This type of hair loss usually shows up 2 to 4 months after the stressor starts. So after you started using the medication, you're going to start to see this happen later, a little bit later down the road, not immediately. So by the time that you're noticing it, that damage has already been brewing under the surface, and what's going to fall out is what's going to fall out. And that brings me to my next important point, the nutrient depletion problem. On top of that metabolic stress, you're also eating way less food than your body is used to. And if you're not being strategic about what you're eating and supplementing when you're having much smaller meals and less frequent meals on this medication due to the reduced food noise and the fullness coming in a lot faster, sometimes even the nausea keeps people from eating foods, you are unintentionally creating nutrient gaps. So especially in the vitamins and minerals that your hair follicles desperately need. The big ones are biotin, zinc, iron, vitamin D, B vitamins, and proteins, because those are the building blocks of keratin, which is majority of your hair. And when you're eating only like 800 to 1200 calories a day on average, instead of like 2000 plus, and you're not prioritizing nutrient density, you're basically running on fumes, and it'll get worse and worse if you don't become intentional about it, okay? So my client was eating clean, you know, meal prepping most of her meals, sometimes eating out, but she had like go-to meals that we had discussed together that were like aligned with her goals. But when we had ran her labs, her blood work, her ferritin, which is her stored iron, was like in the toilet. It was so low. And her zinc was low. Her vitamin D was borderline. She wasn't eating enough, and it was showing. And real quick side note, I don't know if you know this by now or not, but it is actually completely in your power to order yourself professional blood work on your own. Companies like LabCorp and Quest that have a ton of different locations scattered across majority of major cities have the option for you to order specific labs online and go to get the blood draw done, and then you can get your results and you can actually bring them to your doctor. Or there's a lot of really great resources online that can kind of help you interpret your levels. I often go by the ranges by functional medicine. So there are resources like even websites like Dr. Hyman's website. He also has blood work you can order from. I think it's like, what is it? Function is his company, I think. But I actually can also order blood work for people as well when they are my clients. I am working on some other things to kind of streamline that for you. But more on that soon. So, you know, like I said, sign up for my newsletter to be in the know when all of those fantastic resources come out. But it is super important to understand that you can check in on all of these markers on your own at any time. Yes, you are paying out of pocket, but they are generally pretty affordable and it is always worth it. You can also tell your doctor your concerns and ask for specific blood work. It is important to come in with the markers that you specifically want to run and why, and we can see if they might run it under your insurance. There's also a chance that they won't, but it's worth trying. So coming back to it, yes, food absolutely matters, but this is also where smart therapeutic dosing on supplementation can become a non-negotiable, especially if you are somebody who just is not simply eating enough. Because like, you're an adult female, or maybe you're an adult male listening to this. It applies to both. Your body needs so much more than society and diet culture tells us. And That is something that is really important to think about because a lot of us undereat chronically and think that we're still overeating. Or sometimes we undereat and then kind of have big weekends where we eat how much we really want and then we undereat again. And we're constantly playing this like yo-yo game with our body and it gets stressed out because it's like, hey, like, am I going to get nutrients to the level that I need today or not? Because y'all are making me crazy. And so it's really important that you understand that when you start to go into a massive deficit, this is pretty stressful for your body. And as just a functioning adult body, you actually need so much more daily nutrients than you might think. All right, so that brings me to my next point, the protein problem. All right, so let's talk protein for a second because this is where I see people struggling the most. Hair is literally made of protein, specifically keratin, like I had said earlier. And when you're in a calorie deficit and your appetite is suppressed, getting enough protein becomes hard, like hella hard, right? So many of my clients and friends that have been using these medications, either they're still on them or they're not, they basically say they almost feel like they have aversions to protein. Like they could eat carbs all day still. Like they could totally eat a serving or two of carbs in a meal. But getting the protein down, like sometimes they even get nausea. It's very unfortunate because that is the main thing that you need to prioritize on these meds. If you're somebody who has zero aversions to protein and you're on this med, that's great. Definitely don't skip on it then. But your body needs protein for so many things in general. So like muscle repair, immune function, hormone production, enzyme creation. And again, since your hair is last on the list, if you're only getting 40 to 50 grams of protein a day when you need more like 80 to 100, that's my usual recommendation for most adult females, your hair is going to suffer, unfortunately. So when I've had clients tell me like, I can barely eat a chicken breast without feeling sick, how am I supposed to get more protein in? I totally get it. The meds make food feel really not appealing, but this is where you have to get creative. And sometimes if you can tolerate like a whey isolate protein, there's so many clear whey isolate proteins that are more, they taste like a lot more like juice. There's a company called Grams that I really like that's like that. Or, you know, plant-based protein, whatever. Protein powders can really support you in these times because they are much easier to get down and you can get a lot more grams down more easily. But honestly, I recommend a lot of my clients just focus on the proteins that they find appetizing all the time. So for me, like I'm not on a GLP med, but if I am having like a total aversion to chicken, sometimes I just get sick of chicken. Like I'm just like, no, I don't want this. I never get sick of like a filet, like a filet mignon. And so I will often buy these double packs of like the grass-fed fillets on Thrive Market or at Whole Foods, whatever. And I will just like defrost one of those and reverse sear it and or grill it on the grill, whatever. And I will always eat that. It always is appealing to me. So what is your protein source, like complete protein source that is always appealing to you? Prioritize that. So far, I have had zero issues eating high quality meat, especially eating a more whole food based diet, eating it frequently throughout the month or throughout the week rather. A lot of people are like, keep your red meat to a few days a week. That's old science that has been debunked. I do not usually worry about that unless you are somebody who specifically is dealing with a extremely high body fat percentage and you have concerns over saturated fat intake and things like that. That would not exactly be my best recommendation because, you know, red meats and other meats that are higher in saturated fats naturally can be problematic potentially, but there's a lot of other nuances to that. We won't get into that today. All right, so let's get into kind of a quote unquote protocol I would recommend that actually will help you. All right. So part one, supplement smartly. Therapeutic doses do not often show up in drugstore multivitamins, Costco multivitamins, etc. Unfortunately, I know they're more affordable, but they're going to be more of a waste of money because they are not usually at a dose that you might hold on. You might be wondering, like, Kales, what does a therapeutic dose mean? That is a dose of a nutrient that is actually going to respond, your body's going to respond to. So a lot of people will say, like, hey, I take magnesium every night. I don't really feel any effects. Okay, the most therapeutically dosed magnesium, like magnesium glycinate, is what I usually recommend. You should be, as an adult, taking 300 to 400 milligrams of magnesium at night if you want to have those beneficial effects, especially since a lot of people are more depleted in magnesium than any other time ever in history. Okay, maybe not any. That's a little dramatic. There's definitely times where people were very more depleted, and that's why they died way younger. But anyways, so that's a therapeutic dosing. You want to be having that because the bottle might say, hey, one capsule gives you 100 milligrams of magnesium. Okay, yeah, you need to take three or four capsules then. That is going to massively change your game. Hopefully, if you're like, Kales, that's me, try that. Tell me how it goes. It's going to be way better. So what I typically recommend for clients on GLP-1s who want to protect their hair, a really easy one, honestly, that will cover quite a few of these nutrients would just be like the Thorn prenatal. It is actually not in too high of dosing of various vitamins and minerals involved in hair production and just overall health with your body. But it also is going to be easier to take because some vitamins, because they're bioavailable, meaning they're more easy for your body to absorb, they are a lot of capsules. So one that I tend to recommend my clients, especially to take for at least like 3 months when they start the medication or when they've been taking the medication and they're starting to see the hair loss, meaning that their body has started to be more depleted, if it's been longer than just that initial hair shed from the stress, a prenatal is totally safe. You can take a prenatal without planning to get pregnant. Like, yes, it has folate in it. That's a B vitamin. You need that still. You don't need folate just for prepping for a baby. That is just so that you could prevent like spina bifida and all that kind of stuff if you are creating a baby. But a lot of us are still very deficient in it. That is why it is prioritized in prenatals, is because a lot of women go into pregnancy folate deficient. So we are looking for good quality companies like Thorn, Pure Encapsulations, Designs for Health, Thrive Pharmaceuticals. I don't know. There's so many great ones. A lot of them you're going to find on FullScript. On my website, you can join my FullScript and get 35% off supplements. I'm trying to make sure that you guys have access to affordable, high quality supplements. So definitely go to my store. I believe it's just Nourish Within by Kales on FullScript, and make your own account. Easy, free. Go for it. Go for it while I still can offer you 35%. But some of the key nutrients, if you are somebody who doesn't need to take a multivitamin, is iron, especially if your ferritin is low. A lot of us females, unfortunately, for a variety of reasons, our ferritin is often low. I will be doing another episode on that soon this season. Vitamin D3. A lot of people tend to need 2,000 to 5,000 IUs daily if you live somewhere where it is really gloomy most of the time, like in the Pacific Northwest where I live. You are going to need maybe 5,000 to 10,000 a little more frequently just to make sure, because we don't get as much sunshine, you know what I mean? So that is a really important one. And like I said, a B complex could be really important for supporting all those different things. You know, biotin is a B vitamin. Fun fact, if you did not know that. So that one is going to be included in a good quality B complex. I really like Pure Genomics by Pure Encapsulations B complex. That is a great one that I tend to have majority of my female clients take for a little bit of time, usually like, again, like 90 days or so, to support those nutrient stores. And omega-3s for that inflammation and scalp health, because they are so supportive of healthy oil production and, you know, managing that internal inflammation that can cause more stress. And collagen peptides absolutely can support your skin, hair, and nails, and gut lining, but you do want to make sure that you're having a multi-collagen, like multi-type collagen blend, because only a lot of collagen blends, like the common one that you'll see like at Target, is it Primal something? You guys probably know what I'm talking about. It's like a blue bottle. That one is only like one or two types of collagen, and you usually want to get a blend that has like four or five types of collagen to have that best support. I've seen the most success for clients that are taking multi-type collagen blends. And like, no hate on Target, but like, this is totally not about taking a random gummy from Target or Costco. Like, you're really going to do the best to have therapeutic doses from quality third-party tested companies like the ones I listed that will actually move the needle. So if you have been like, Kales, I don't take supplements because they don't work for me, try higher quality companies. And again, they are so much more accessible if you have either a practitioner that's already giving you a discount on FullScript, which is a great resource, because I do not recommend ordering supplements from Amazon anymore. There's too many people that are selling fake ones or, you know, dupes and things like that. And you don't really know, like, is it the same quality? I don't like that. So all my clients now are only on my FullScript. Again, you can find that on my website. The next concept that is really helpful for, you know, including into your protocol, so to speak, is yet again, prioritize protein at every meal. So maybe you probably want to punch me through the earbuds, whatever you're listening to me through. Aim for 25 to 35 grams per meal if you can. That is the best, because you'll have a little bit of surplus for some of you to, you know, send off to your hair and your skin and your nails to support that. Because when your muscles are asking for a lot of protein and you're only eating enough to support your lean muscle, you're not going to have a lot to share with your other parts of your body that need protein. So if solid food feels hard, try those protein shakes. Like I said, bone broth can be great, but it's mostly, you know, it's collagen based protein. So it's not a complete protein, but mixing that in can be really beneficial. Greek yogurt, they do make some plant yogurts that are a little bit better. But the higher protein yogurts are going to be much better. If you're somebody with lactose intolerance and you avoid yogurt, Greek yogurt and the other yogurts that are produced the right way when they involve probiotics naturally that naturally occur, they eat the lactose out. Okay. So they also help you digest by digesting, creating those enzymes for you that digest the lactose. So that's why a lot of people who are lactose intolerant actually can do okay with Greek yogurt or Icelandic skyr, et cetera. Eggs are really easy to digest and they're very versatile. You can make anything with eggs. So getting creative with eggs is really great. If you're somebody who's just like, I don't like eggs, maybe try looking up some alternative recipes and ideas. If there are certain textures you don't like you don't like scrambled eggs or you don't like over medium eggs, maybe you might like chopped up egg salad on a piece of sourdough or something like that. Another shout out for the sourdough guide. That's another really important way to get multi-nutrients, because eggs are powerhouses when it comes to a lot of supportive things, more than just protein and healthy fats. Collagen in your coffee or smoothie is another way that you can sneak those amino acids into your diet. But again, they're not going to be complete protein, so they kind of are not exactly the same. But your hair follicles are literally waiting for those amino acids. So however you can get more of those into your daily diet is going to support your hair. The next on your list of what to do is to make sure you're managing your stress. And I know that it is another one that you are probably like rolling your eyes, but it is really important, because chronic stress is elevated cortisol, and that leads to more hair shedding. So if you're white knuckling your way through life, your hair is going to show it. And that's what we see. I mean, Jada Pinkett Smith, do I have to say anything more than that? That is exactly why she had alopecia. I've seen it on my own father when he was in an exceptionally stressful time in his business. Like, alopecia is almost always caused by excessive chronic stress. It is not some weird disease that hits you, okay? If you look into it, the way they painted it when that was going on media kind of made me giggle, because I'm like, the woman just needs to chill out. She needs to delegate more things. She needs to cut back on whatever's stressing her out more. Not like that's just that simple, but all to say, alopecia is usually mostly caused by some sort of stress load that's chronic in the body, whether that's nutrition-wise, inflammation-wise, external, interpersonal relationship-wise, et cetera. So this means that sleep, nervous system regulation, magnesium before bed, cutting back on caffeine if you're already wired. Like, I have to stop my caffeine at like 1 or 2 p.m. If I do it longer than that, then I usually am not able to relax in the evening. So that is a non-negotiable for me. I'm officially old now. And not over-exercising while your body is adjusting to the meds. Okay, so do not try to speed up your progress by going to Orange Theory 5 times a week, taking your shots, under-eating. That is very, very, very unhealthy, and I do not recommend it. You are for sure going to just lose your hair, and a lot of other things are going to suffer if you go that route. So take care of your body, try to support it, because the med itself is going to cause stress at first. And like I said, the next part that you have to make sure is that you always eat enough food, because it is going to be exogenously suppressing your appetite. Technically, it's internal, but it is a medication that came from the outside, so it is not naturally suppressing your appetite. So if you're eating less than like 1,200 to 1,400 calories a day for months on end, your body will start shutting down those non-essential functions, and hair growth is absolutely one of them. So you definitely don't need to force feed yourself, but you do need to be intentional. So again, that's where those supplements can really support you in this time. And I've seen so much more success for clients that do that and prioritize that, alongside trying their best to at least 80% of the time eat nourishing foods. Most of them do not lose any more hair, and they grow back a lot of hair, and it's fine. Okay, you might be surprised. And then my last note in this protocol section is that you need to make sure you're working with a provider who gets it. So if your provider isn't talking to you about your nutrition, your supplementation, your hydration, big one, hydration on these meds, and your metabolic support while you're on these meds, you gotta find somebody who will. And this, because it's not just about weight loss. It's about protecting your body through the process and trying to come out of it healthier, right? We don't want to become sicker. And there's so many people around us on these meds that are coming out of it sicker because they don't have the right guides to help them on this journey. And so that's why I'm making episodes like this for you guys, is free education and awareness from everything I've learned from, I would say I've had at least 40 clients I've known utilize these meds for different reasons, and typically most of them are in more microdose ranges, so it is more strategic. And I've had quite a bit of friends and acquaintances use it at this point. So I'd say the pool of people that I've experienced and kind of observed and interviewed is roughly like 100, 150, maybe 200 people so far throughout this. And that's in person. I've also done extensive research online and learned a lot about the mistakes and the pro tips. So that's why I'm sharing them with you guys today. All right, and we're going to finish out this chat just kind of encouraging you, because you might be wondering, when shall I expect the improvement if I'm doing all these things and that protocol and whatever? So here's the honest truth. If you've already been shedding for a while, it might take 3 to 6 months to see regrowth after you implement these changes. Hair cycles, like I said before, are pretty slow, but what you do now will determine what your hair looks like in 6 months from now and moving forward, so you can prevent this kind of yo-yo of hair loss. And for some people, yes, there's gonna be some shedding just because of the rapid weight loss and metabolic shift that is continually probably happening, because you're probably not getting off your GLP-1 med, right? But what we're trying to do is just minimize it, right? And support your body through it, and give your hair follicles what they need to recover faster. And for those of you who are trying to get ahead of it, following all of those things is very highly likely to remove excessive shedding from your journey on a GLP-1 med altogether. All right, so let's do a quick recap on what we covered today. One, hair loss on GLP-1 meds is common, but it's not inevitable, okay? It's your body responding to metabolic stress and nutrient depletion. There's a reason it's happening. It's not mysterious. Number two, the key players are going to always be protein, iron, zinc, B vitamins, vitamin D, omega-3s, and collagen. Number three, got to eat enough food, manage your stress, supplement strategically, not just hope for the best, okay? That is always going to fail. Do not just say, Jesus, take the wheel and send it, like, you know. And the last one, number four, it takes time, but what you do now sets up your hair for regrowth in 3 to 6 months, and I promise it will be so much better. So here's your homework this week. Track your protein intake for 3 days. Just see where you're landing. It's so helpful. It's not overwhelming. Just use it as a tool. If you're under 80 grams a day, that is your first area of focus, so start there. And if you're in the thick of this right now, I totally see you. I've been there with my clients. I have actually just talked to another client who's starting tirzepatide recently. And she is like very afraid of losing a lot of hair again. And so we've had this talk, and it is totally something that you can have the power over more than you may think, or more than what you may hear. I know it's frustrating, but your body is really resilient, and with the right support, your hair can recover. Okay. Just follow a game plan and you should be okay. So if this was helpful, screenshot this episode, tag me on Instagram. I would love to hear your takeaways, or respond to me, send me a DM on any of those Instagram pages that you can find in the show notes. And if you're not already subscribed, hit that button so you don't miss next week's episode, where we are talking about actionable strategies if you are a girly like me who has really low ferritin, like we were talking about before. All right, Rebels, celebrate your strength and nourishment, walk with confidence, and I will catch you in a couple weeks on another episode of Rebel Wellness. All right, Rebel, that's another episode in the books. If you're sitting there thinking, oh my God, this actually makes sense now, do me a favor, screenshot this episode, tag me at Kaylee Loren or at Rebel Wellness Podcast on Instagram, and tell me which piece hit different. Your aha moments literally make my entire week. Want more of this energy? Jump on my newsletter where I spill the tea on everything from blood work interpretation to why your cravings aren't a character flaw. It's the unfiltered stuff that would make this episode 3 hours long. So if you want more of that, join our newsletter on my website, coachkales.com. And listen, if this show is becoming your weekly dose of someone finally gets it, please smash that 5-star rating on Spotify or please drop us a review on Apple Podcasts. It helps us grow and expand and share more education with more women like you who need it. You know, it's really important that we support our sisters. Real talk though, disclaimer time, I'm dropping knowledge, not prescriptions. Everything here is educational. I'm not diagnosing, treating, or replacing your healthcare team. Think of me as your research-obsessed bestie who happens to know a lot more about hormones, gut health, and all the good stuff than your hairdresser or that random health guru that you're not quite sure if you should trust her background. Keep questioning the status quo, keep trusting your body's wisdom, and keep showing up for yourself. You're doing better than you think, and I'll be right here cheering you on. Catch you next week.